conflict worthy of the BBC marks this morning's reading. Jesus returns home, but the crowd is such that he can't even eat. His family is worried, but they cannot get near. In this crowd are those scribes from Jerusalem, spreading nasty rumors in a style we recognize. Some people are saying he's in league with Beelzebub. You know, if someone is casting out demons, somehow demons must be in play. Just saying. And Jesus answers logically. Satan wouldn't be casting out Satan. But the rumors keep churning. You know, I still run into people who think that the COVID vaccine causes infertility and impotence. Yeah, the rumors keep churning. And the logic of Jesus doesn't even seem to convince his family. He has an unclean spirit, makes them so worried they come looking for him. And the crowd reports to Jesus, "Your mother and brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." The phrase is direct and simple. No blame, no implication that they are worried out of their minds because people are saying that Jesus is out of his. "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." Nice to have the sisters there. On first reading, the family of Jesus can come across as either dull or interfering. Mothers and fathers often have that reputation. They don't understand and they can get in the way. But this family seems to be taking care. How many of us have no brothers knocking on the door, wondering how we're doing? How many in Geneva sit waiting, waiting, the television blathering on, filling the room with echoing empty noise? How many creep further and further into their digitalized cellars, becoming more and more afraid and more alone? How many have no one asking after them? So it is important in this context to read in Genesis that at the very beginning of fallen humanity, God asks Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" If no one else is asking, God is. Usually we imagine God in this story striding through the trees, belt in hand with a grouchy growl, "Where are you?" And newly aware that they are naked, Adam and Eve quickly start pulling up their fig leaves. Adam blames Eve, Eve blames the serpent crawls. This version of God, angry and vengeful, is very popular in our times. Righteous attitude coupled with loud accusation gets a lot of followers and likes. There's something in our age which enjoys anger. But what if the God in the garden is more like the family of Jesus, asking after Adam and Eve? What if God does not remain uninvolved, muttering, "Oh, poor Adam and Eve, I guess they were made for disobedience. Poor them." No, God doesn't leave them lost in their newfound fig leaves. God goes looking. So might we imagine a different tone of voice, something more flippant like, "Where are you?" Or more concern than judgment, "Where are you?" What if the question itself is the start of healing? One of the crucial tasks of our time is to relearn how to ask, "Where are you?" To ask with enough integrity and concern so that the one replying does not need to hedge or hide. What if our very asking became more than curiosity, but genuine interest, discerning, learning what the other person is trying to manage in their lives? What if we learned to ask the question so that someone could reply, "I feel naked, alone, afraid"? What if we learned to be a healthy family again? Mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, risking honest concern, daring to ask over and over again, "Where are you?" I remember a father, a former member of our church, who discovered his son's drug addiction. So he traveled to the faraway place where his son was crashing, both in terms of sleep, but also in terms of the quality of his life. The story goes, the father called him up and asked, "Would you like a cup of coffee?" And that question allowed him to take his son home for treatment. The crowd says to Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." And part of me cheers, yes, Jesus has brothers and sisters who are asking. They are those walking in the garden with God on a search. But Jesus responds, as Jesus often does, with another question. "Who are my mother and my brothers?" The sisters seem to have gone again. With this response, Jesus seems just shy of rude. He gives no acknowledgement of their concern nor gratitude for their effort. And then with his answer comes a kind of shock. Jesus redefines that sacred idea, family. And for many of us, this is a blessed mercy. Family with Jesus is no longer limited to genes nor bloodlines. Even if your given family is awful, and there are many awful families in our world, you are not limited just to that one configuration. Jesus opens his arms wide to the crowd and says, "Here are my brothers, my mother. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The sisters arrive again. No biology, no tribe, no political inclinations are defining. Family centers with Jesus on those doing the will of God. Maybe I have not said it out loud too much, but I want you to know, you are my family. Max, my long deceased partner, used to reflect that perhaps I stayed in Geneva because of him, or probably it was more likely I stayed in Geneva because of the church. But every week, I long to be with you. Every week, I hunger to sing together, to pray together, to be God's people together, to talk about the weather, to discuss work and hope, aches and heartaches, what it means to be human. Without you, I die. We are family. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, cousins, friends. We are not as good at it as we should be, but we belong to each other as we seek to be faithful to the will of God. I think Emma Shea showed us a way. She didn't like much about our worship, but she didn't stay away. She brought her strong critique, and at the same time, she was utterly committed to being here. I certainly could not have guessed that she would ask to have us sing You Are Holy at her funeral. I mean, who would have thought? So she could make sharp comments, but at the same time, we knew she loved us. That's somehow being family. And she understood this family as being one centered on Jesus Christ. And because it is, it cannot be closed or insular. If Jesus opens wide the idea of family, the family of Jesus teaches us to begin again, asking about our missing sisters and brothers, those in the apartments nearby, those working down the hall, those who feel as if no one cares about them, those to whom no one asks the simplest question, how are things going with you today? How many potential sisters and brothers are out there who don't even know they need a family like ours, who don't even know yet that we exist, or if they know, don't think they could possibly belong here? How many are on their phones posting likes and dislikes, getting angry at the screen, laughing at the stupid cats, crying along to a sad song, but not knowing anyone to whom they can say, can I tell you about my day? Who is my brother? Someone who comes along and asks after me. Who is my sister? Someone who takes the courage to invite me to come to church with them, who tells me about the possibility of a caring community. Who is my father? Somebody busy down in the kitchen getting things out for coffee hour, baking the goodies, setting out the fruit. Who is my mother? Someone who listens to the questions hidden within the small talk and discerning the deepest joys beneath a sigh. This family is not some modern construct designed for previously unconnected loners. Jesus pulls us into family. However different our understandings, we come here agreeing that he is our center and our guide. Because Jesus is the way, in this family we keep learning love. Because Jesus is the truth, in this family, we honor the honesty that pulls us closer. Because Jesus is the life, we invite others to celebrate with us. Because this is the family of Jesus, the goal is never winning the argument. Families at their best are not like football games, keeping score of goals and penalties. In Christ, families keep trying to understand one another, so that even in conflict, the image of God is before us, so that we can return to mercy, reconciliation, joyous peace. Because the will of God claims us, we find myriad ways to ask, "Where are you?" Because this family is open to all, we keep inviting, "Come, there's a place at the table for you." "Who is my mother?" "You." "Who is my sister?" "You." "Who is my brother?" "You." And all those you bring with you, all who gather round Jesus Christ. Amen.